Adventure 12 Steal the Gems and Escape from the Jithyanki Outpost. Colonel Antithia had done it yet again. The group could not face leaving the Jithyanki base until they at least eliminated the danger that she posed. Worse yet, it only took one glance for Sid to ascertain that Captain Thirimo wasn't the drunken drow that the party was hunting. So far, this had been a very unsuccessful mission. Stopping momentarily to pick over the possessions of the late Captain Thirimo and the Jithyanki warlock Quasmo, the party turned about and once again headed towards the center of the Jithyanki base. Without any clue as to the location of Colonel Antithia, the group figured that anywhere in the base was as good as any other. Deciding to profit while looking for her, the group decided to head for the treasury. Less than a minute later, the group found themselves standing before the large ornate doors that lead into the Jithyanki base's temple. Chanting the words of an unlocking spell, Banrak gestured towards the door. Seconds later she began to shimmer and fade from sight, as did Sid, Milo, and Alejandra. Guys? What's going on? Orendel asked, looking about for the rest of his group. It's the wild magic. It looks like most of us are invisible, answered Sid. Just open the door, muttered Banrak. Opening the doors and moving in, Sid reflected that, if anyone inside were hostile, Orendel and Zoltan would take all of the fire. Moving into the room, the group finally took the time to actually look about. Several large columns were placed about the room, encircling a large altar in the center. Against the far wall stood an immense statue of the Jithyanki Queen, her head nearly brushing the roof. For eyes, the statue possessed immense, hand-sized rubies, which Milo instantly took an interest in. Suddenly a voice rang out from somewhere in the room. You do realize you won't get away, correct? It was Antithia. She was in the room, and she was invisible. Sid, Milo, and Alejandra all had identical ideas, running over to the door leading to the treasury. Opening the door, they went into the small room beyond only to find that the second door was locked tight. Alejandra began struggling with the lock, finding the lock to the treasury to be masterfully crafted. Zoltan rushed forward and began to rush about the room, hoping to catch Antithia off guard in order to learn her location. Orendel and Banrak both looked about, hoping to get a glimpse of her. The door leading into the main room suddenly shut, seemingly by itself, sealing Sid, Milo, and Alejandra in the small room in between the treasury and the temple. Zoltan started to move towards the area around the door, sweeping his weapon back and forth in the hope of catching Antithia. Suddenly, Orendel spotted a small glowing bead sitting on the altar. Fireball! Get out of the room! Orendel, Banrak, and Zoltan all quickly rushed out of the room. They barely made it past the large outer doors when the fireball went off, engulfing the room in flame. Hesitantly, Zoltan entered back into the room. He had just stepped in when suddenly he found himself falling up. Slamming into the ceiling with a loud crunch, Zoltan could only conclude that gravity was reversed. Activating his jetpack, Zoltan rocketed off the ceiling and informed Orendel and Banrak of the room's conditions. Orendel flew into the room and opened the door leading to the treasury. Warning Sid, Milo, and Alejandra about the room, he began to search about the room. Orendel doubted Antithia was still in the room, but he recalled a hidden door leading into here from the Carmander's room. Sensing a small airflow coming from the western wall, Orendel carefully began feeling along the wall and then yes. There. The wall swung out and Orendel stepped into the Carmander's room. Banrak and Zoltan followed him in. Zoltan cautiously approached the net that had trapped Orendel the last time at the base, while Orendel explained the workings of the net and the holding tubes. Milo grew tired of waiting for Alejandra and, mindful of Orendel's warning, flew out into the temple and up to the top of the Jithyanki Queen's statue. Grabbing his laser pistol, he began slowly melting away the surrounding statue in an attempt to dislodge the two rubies. Finding the net in the Carmander's room active, Zoltan was stumped on how to get through it. Milo had managed to evade it on their previous encounter, but Orendel had been ensnared. No one in the room liked those odds. I might have a spell that could help. Should I try? Asked Banrak. No, don't, shouted Zoltan. But it was too late. The sound of arcane chanting could already be heard. And then silence. Banrak, are you okay? There was no answer. Feeling about in front of him, Orendel soon found the form of Banrak. She seemed to not be moving at all. Lifting her up, Orendel hastily flew out of the room. Zoltan followed after him when suddenly he was lifted up and slammed into the ceiling again. Damn. Forgot about the gravity. Milo had managed to pry out both rubies and had damaged the statue a good deal in the process. Very quickly, everyone was becoming tired of the time it was taking Alejandra to open the way to the treasury. And then a loud click issued out in the silence, along with Alejandra's exuberant shouting. The treasury door was opened, and the party again found themselves in the room of gems spinning crazily about through the air. Not being rushed, the party set about to methodically fill every available space with gems, including everyone's backpacks, four of which were Zoltan's, pouches, pockets, and, in Alejandra's case, her boots. Pockets and bags bulging from the glut of gems, and the treasury looking a lot less cluttered, Sid checked his watch. The time left on his fly spells was rapidly wearing out, and if the party waited much longer, most of them would be unable to get down. We're not leaving yet. Remember the big communication mirror? I'm shutting it down again, explained Zoltan, as he crossed through the treasure room to the door beyond. The party had 2 minutes and counting. Moving through the treasury, the mostly invisible party walked down the hidden corridor towards the small alcove that contained the mirror. Stepping into the alcove, Zoltan leveled his gun and destroyed the newly repaired mirror. And that's when everyone heard the pounding of running feet. Jisayanki began pouring in from both sides of the hallway, surrounding the party. Worse yet, these were not the Jisayanki the party had been fighting. These were full-fledged Jisayanki knights, not only bearing high-powered blaster rifles, but also wearing powerful combat armor. The knights looked up and down the hallway for the intruders that were supposedly in the base. Zoltan was inside of the small alcove, outside of their line of sight. Cid, Alejandra, G. Banrak, and Milo were all still invisible due to the wild magic in the area. That left poor Orendel standing out in the open, in plain view of all the knights. The knights promptly opened fire. Multiple blaster shots tore into Orendel, punching multiple holes in his armor. Barely standing, Orendel quickly retreated into the alcove and quickly began applying healing patches to his many wounds. Milo took aim and fired, managing to penetrate one of the knight's armor as he appeared. Cid and Alejandra began firing at one of the Jisayanki knights, as they both hovered above him, likewise fading into view. Banrak ran screaming into the alcove along with Orendel. Should I cast a spell? Should I cast a spell? No, came the answer from everyone. Zoltan quickly spun around and stepped into the hallway, leveling his blaster and firing a barrage of shots into the midst of the oncoming knights. The knights quickly realized that Zoltan was their most dangerous opponent, and began to focus their fire at him. Few of their shots were able to pierce his naturally tough skin, or his protective battle armor, however. Orendel tossed Banrak a blaster pistol, as he continued to apply healing patch after healing patch. Alejandra attempted to turn invisible but instead her magical power flexed out of control. With a flash of light, she found her senses suddenly disjointed and scrambled and all she could do was hover in place. Cid continued to fire at the Jisayanki knight who had come up behind the party. Milo fired off a few more shots, as Banrak stepped out from the alcove and suddenly began casting. No, shouted nearly everyone at once. Suddenly a shimmering, glittering sphere materialized around one of the Jisayanki knights, effectively cutting him off from the combat. A prismatic sphere. Cid was amazed, and terrified at the same time. If spells were working to such a degree, whatever Banrak had cast could have, as easily killed everyone in the party. No more magic. Alejandra finally snapped out of her magically induced stupor, and with Milo's help, managed to bring down one of the Jisayanki knights who had come at the party from the treasury. Sensing an opportunity, Cid flipped over the head of the remaining knight, scooping up the fallen knight's blaster rifle, as he did, and finished off the other knight at his end of the hall. With Zoltan drawing fire from the knights on the other side, both Alejandra and Milo ran to the alcove, where they took cover. Zoltan was starting to look bad by now. Most of the shots were unable to pierce his protective armor but enough were getting through to take their toll. But suddenly Orendel was in front of him, soul feeder in hand. Screaming out a battle cry, Orendel rushed forward and engaged one of the last knights in melee combat. Orendel scored several vicious gashes on the last knight, failing him. Quiet settled over the battlefield. Then Cid noticed the time. We need to get out now. The group rushed from the room, leaving one knight stuck within the prismatic sphere. Entering into the vertical corridor, Zoltan activated his jetpack, as the other members of the party lifted off, flying at max speed up the shaft. Rocketing out of the window at the top of the tower, the party found themselves off to one side of the Jisayanki base. Heading straight down, Cid realized the magic wasn't going to keep them up long enough. 20 feet above the ground, Cid's fly spells began to unravel, the magic holding up the party falling away. Luckily, the safeguards kicked in at the last moment, and the last 20 feet were fallen at a slow, delicate rate. Settling onto the ground, everyone began to debate what to do. No one especially wanted to leave and come back, but it was obvious that the group needed some more preparation before entering the base yet again. And of course Cid had underestimated the burden of flying several people, a situation he hoped to correct with a wand. Reluctantly the party prepared to hike back to the plane and set out for car. As little time as possible would be spent restocking. The group hiked for nearly a mile when they saw them. Several Jisayanki surrounding their plane. Not just Jisayanki. Jisayanki knights. 5 knights had been a challenge. The 9 knights standing about the plane would very likely prove too much, especially if the strange wild magic zone extended out this far. Very quickly the party pulled back and discussed their options. The Jisayanki base was in the middle of nowhere. There was little chance the party could hike anywhere without taking several weeks. The only recourse was to make a small camp somewhere nearby and hope the knights had left the plane in the middle of the night.